Blog Talk Radio.
From the East Coast to the West Coast and all of North America, greetings from the Patriot Media Network. My name is Anthony Schindler, and this is The Patriot Addiction, a place where our love and devotion to this country is obsessive and compulsive. It's not about right and left, but it is about right and wrong. This show is not for the faint of heart, nor the politically correct. It's more like a special ops mission in the defense of liberty. So no matter what side of the aisle you're on, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to lock and load. For we the people will not go quietly into the night, and we will bring down the thunder. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Patriot Media Network. My name is Anthony Schindler, and you're listening to The Patriot Addiction. Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's been too long. We haven't gotten together for a while. My apologies. I got real busy. I hope our time finds you well. Since last we got together, I hope the family's well. I hope the kids are well. Husband and the wife. Hope the grandbabies are well. I hope everyone that you love and care about is doing well. I'm hanging tough. The reason we couldn't get together this week was a couple of big snows. Well, one big one and two small ones. And I think Sunday night I went out. I went out early Sunday morning for 38 hours straight. Plowing and blowing snow. And then Wednesday was pretty much the same thing, although we had a slight snow on, I don't even know, the days all ran together. We had a couple of snows back to back. I was out for 10, 12 hours and then got an hour and a half sleep and went back out for 10, 12 hours. And ladies and gentlemen, wow, I was... While I was doing snow removal up here in Auburn, I'm down here in Fort Wayne, but while I was up in Auburn doing snow removal, ladies and gentlemen, my snowblower came under attack with RPGs and small arms fire. And so I had to land my snowblower. I came in pretty hard. But I survived thanks to the courageous snowmen around me who circled me and protected me from a terrible snowstorm. But we took fire from RPGs and grenades and intercontinental ballistic missiles. I mean, it was bad. It was touch and go there for a while. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That's Brian Williams. Never mind. No, that didn't happen. Well, he took small arms fire, but there wasn't any RPGs. You know, I just told that story, you know, so I could honor the brave snow removal guys who never get any credit, you know. Never get any credit. I mean, you know, how you get into the doctor's office, how you get into the Walmart, you know. When you get them big snows, you know, you wouldn't get in anywhere if it wasn't for the snow removal guys. And I really just told that story because I wanted to honor the brave men and women who do a lot of snow removal. So, I want to set the record straight there. A little Brian Williams joke for you there, ladies and gentlemen. But I did. I did move snow for 38 hours starting Sunday morning. And then got one day of rest. And then I think it was, guess it would have been Wednesday and Thursday. We got a few more inches and helping a buddy out and some of the places he plows snow at. Our retirement centers and nursing homes, clinics. That if we get any snow, and he has to keep them open, which is why I was out for 38 hours on Sunday. We just chased our tail. We just went from one place to the other and we got down the list. We went back. By then, the first one on the list was about drifted shut. We just chased our tail all day Sunday and Monday. Went from probably went to all the places he does 3 or 4 times. And unfortunately, as I was, endearingly referred to on one of those days, I'm the shovel monkey. I don't know why. I'm a journeyman heavy equipment operator, and he didn't need any equipment operators. So I do the shoveling and the blowing. 38 hours straight of shoveling and snow blowing. But I got one comment from my buddy's brother-in-law. He said, it's sad when a 51-year-old man, referring to me, it's sad when a 51-year-old man outworks all these young bucks. So I got a good compliment there. Kind of a backhanded compliment, but it was a compliment nonetheless. So I was just out of it 38 hours straight, rest for a day, and then I was out for another 12, got an hour and a half sleep, and was out for another 12, 14. Getting some snow up here in Indiana. I would have loved to have been here, but I was just out of it. I remember, staying up 38 hours straight when I was a young man. Didn't seem that hard. Not as hard as it does now. Of course, I wasn't shoveling snow for the whole 38 hours either. And I might have had a little help. I'm just saying. Those days are over, of course, but... wow, that was hard. But I'm not complaining. Not complaining a bit. So quite a bit has gone on since the last time we got together. Got a bunch of stuff I want to get to. The Jordanian pilot burned alive in the cage. Sure you all saw that. The monsters in the Middle East grow stronger as we speak. And I can't help but wonder, if we're going to last, I can't help but wonder if we can last another 2 years. Until we get this moron out of the White House. Yeah, I said it. And I sugarcoated it. Because he's really a brain-dead moron. And everybody surrounding him are brain-dead morons. Now, granted, we've been around so many brain-dead morons for so long, it's hard to remember what a real American looks like. I mean, and I'm talking about politicians. I see real Americans every day on the street. I'm talking about, politicians. It's hard to remember what a real American looks like. Instead, we have, these America haters, terrorist sympathizers. I've come to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where, I used to think the president was just an idiot, a moron, an incompetent boob. And in many ways he is. But it's much, much more than that. He truly hates this country. Not just this country, but he truly hates Western ideology. He hates capitalism. He apparently hates Christianity. He apparently loves Islam. Apparently he loves terrorists. He keeps letting them go. I mean, you can't, all of the things that he's done, I've said before, Dr. Evil couldn't have come up with a better plan to help the terrorists than what this president has done over the last 6 years. The devil couldn't have came up with a better plan to give the terrorists more geography, more ground, more weapons, more power. The devil himself couldn't have come up with a better plan to help the evildoers. So I no longer believe the president is incompetent when it comes to terrorism. He's a sympathizer. He thinks we deserve it. That's pretty harsh words, you know, towards the president of the United States, but they're true. There can be no other conclusion. It's just that simple. There can be no other conclusion. I know. None of us want to believe it. Who does? Who wants to believe that their president is a terrorist sympathizer? And nobody, not even me. But I can't ignore the facts any longer, and I don't think you should either. One of these days I'll sit down and make up a list on how this president has helped the terrorists. And the list is long. I mean, no-brainers. A 10-year-old kid could look at it and say, I don't think we ought to be doing that. I don't think we should be trading, you know, 5 generals for a deserter. Most likely a traitor. You know, I mean, the list is long how this president has helped the enemy. In fact, there's more than enough legal ground to impeach this president for doing just that. That's just one of many things. You know, ignoring the Constitution, ignoring existing law. There's all kinds of reasons to impeach the president, but the biggest would be aiding and abetting the enemy. Under the Patriot Act, the president could be prosecuted. For giving material support to a known terrorist group. Which may be why they're calling the Taliban these days an armed insurgency instead of terrorists, even though we all know they're terrorists. And when we get back from the break, we'll get into that. So, still, I wonder if we can survive another 2 years. If we can make it another 2 years without a catastrophic terrorist attack on our soil, we can make it another 2 years without the Iranians getting nuclear weapons while they're building intercontinental ballistic missiles, which, by the way, they don't need to attack Israel. If I'm not mistaken, Russia is helping them build intercontinental ICBMs. Can we make it another 2 years without terrorists taking over entire countries. I mean, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about all the American soldiers who died in Iraq, liberating her. And for what? So the terrorist sympathizer in the White House could pull everybody out and let the JV team take over. They're just JV. Took them 6 months after the JV team, after we pulled out, it took them 6 months to take half the country. President should be impeached for that alone. Anyhow, we're going to get into some of that. After the break. Talk about ISIS burning a Jordanian pilot alive. How ironic is it that the king, a guy by the name of King Abdullah, the king of Jordan, is quoting Clint Eastwood? He's dropping the hammer. On the scumbags. Jordan is attacking ISIS while our president is attacking Christians at no other than the National Prayer Breakfast. You know, that's the best place to attack Christians, you know, because that's where they're, you know, they're all gathered. It's just unbelievable. What I've seen happen to my country in the last 6 years. And really, it goes back farther than that. But especially in the last 6 years, it's unbelievable. The damage that this man has done to our country while America sits by and does nothing. It's unbelievable. Yeah, we'll get to it, some of it after the break. Going to take a little break here. Don't touch that dial. My name is Anthony Schindler, and this is The Patriot Addiction. Okay, maybe we're not going to go into the break. Seems that none of my uploaded audio will play on Blog Talks. Don't know if that's me or them. So I guess we'll try something different. Let's try a little of this. Don't know how this is going to come through. I haven't done this yet, so. And a little Johnny Cougar for you. I need to find a warmer place to sleep, baby. It's cold up here in Indiana. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Patriot Media Network. Currently, it is 8:31 here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Actually, it's warming up a little bit. Currently, 8:31 here in the fort. And currently, 27 degrees. That's pretty warm. It was 5 degrees yesterday when I was out shoveling snow, which is, it's a tricky thing to have enough clothes on to stay warm. And to not get all sweaty, because if you get sweaty and you stop working for a minute, you better be hopping in the truck. Last Sunday, the temperature dropped. By Monday morning, it was down at single digits. Every time I got out and shoveled for an hour or two, time I got in the truck, my clothes got so wet, my coat got so wet that my hood was froze solid. I couldn't put my hood down until it thawed out. It was cold. That has warmed up here. 27 degrees. Time for your Patriot Media forecast. Partly cloudy tonight, going down to 22. Tomorrow, warmer, high of 38. Partly cloudy, highs in the upper 30s. Southwest winds, 10 to 15 mile an hour. Tomorrow night, low of 35, mostly cloudy, with a 20% chance of rain. Sunday, cloudy with a 50% chance of rain, highs in the lower 40s. Sunday night, low of 25, cloudy with a chance of rain and freezing rain through midnight, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow towards daybreak. Colder, lows in the mid-20s. Then after that comes through Monday, high of 28, partly cloudy. Monday night, back down to 12 degrees. And by Thursday of next week, low 0 to 5 above next Thursday. So winter's definitely still here. There's no doubt about that. That's your forecast. See what we got going on in the news. It would be, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm still tired. I slept most of the day because, like I said, I was out for 10, 12 hours Wednesday. Got an hour and a half sleep and was back out for 14 hours yesterday. And I napped off and on all day today. Slept all night, got up. Be up for an hour and take a two-hour nap. Up for an hour and two-hour nap. Felt good. Still tired, though. This 51-year-old man, pretty good shape for my age, but that's, that's a bit much. But, you got to do what you got to do. And see here a little local news, or, local to the state. DNR, Dateline, Warsaw, Indiana. DNR chemical leaks into lake after Warsaw plant explosion. Indiana Department of Natural Resources is concerned about hazardous materials that were leaked into Winona Lake after an explosion at a chemical plant in Warsaw. Multiple fire departments responded to the chemical plant in Warsaw Friday morning. Warsaw Chemical, located 2300 East Durban Street, well known for producing car washing products. Indiana DNR reports an unknown amount of chemicals, mostly methanol, made its way into the storm drains and into Winona Lake, which turned the lake and snow blue and green from the dyes in the chemicals. It's possible that thousands of gallons of chemical and water mixture went into the lake. That can't be good. Probably wouldn't be eating any fish out of Winona Lake for a while. Just saying. Racing returns to Bear Field. Dateline Fort Wayne, Indiana. Bear Field Speedway closed abruptly in July of 2014, but it appears the racetrack has new life. Former promoter John Rainey cited a number of reasons for closing the track, including a drop in attendance. Muzillo says he plans to make the Speedway a fan and family-friendly facility. Once the snow clears away, he will assess what improvements need to be made. According to the article on speed51.com, 2015 season, which would start in April, will feature the Hot Five, a five-division racing program highlighted by late-model sportsmen and modifieds, who will share the co-heading honors. Street stocks, mini stocks, compacts will also be in action. A tune is slated for Saturday, April 4th, with times to be announced. That's good. I don't go out. I've never been out there. But I know we have a lot of race fans around here. They'll be glad to hear that. And Dateline Indianapolis. Barack Obama was here in Indiana today, which is, good for the rest of the country, but not so good for Indiana, I'm just saying. President Barack Obama addressed a crowd shortly after 2:30 on Friday during a town hall at Ivy Tech Community College campus. After his speech, he took questions in the crowd. The president focused on what he is calling middle-class economics, a.k.a. communism, Marxism, and socialism. But, the college kids aren't smart enough to know the difference. Let's see here. Says here that most of the people in the audience were Ivy Tech employees and students. Several people from Fort Wayne Ivy Tech campuses also made their way down. The riser behind the podium where Obama spoke was full of Ivy Tech students. One student told a reporter they were handpicked by the school's president, and he's honored to have been selected. Aw. She's been handpicked by the university president to go down and see Mein Führer? What? I'm just saying. It may not have went down exactly like that, but pretty close, I'll bet. During the question and answer portion of the event, someone asked the president about the high price of textbooks. President Obama said that there is no such thing as a totally free lunch, but that by having tuition paid for, people would have more money. He also pointed out Pell Grants can be used for books and for room and board. As for what would pay for the free tuition, President Obama said he is proposing spending cuts and fixes to a tax code he says is filled with special interest loopholes. It's a plan at the heart of what he calls middle-class economics. Oh, Barry. You're such a douchebag. What? I know, it's over the top, but whatever. I'm so sick of this clown. I really am. Yeah, that's it for the news. I don't know, no word yet on how long it's going to take to clear the stench out of, you know, Ivy Tech auditorium. Just saying. So, the president was at the National Prayer Breakfast. And while at the National Prayer Breakfast, President Obama attacked Christians at their National Prayer Breakfast. This is unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out BreitbartNews.com. At the National Prayer Breakfast, President Obama reminded attendees that violence rooted in religion isn't exclusive to Islam, but has been carried out by Christians as well. Really? When was that, Chief? Oh, I know. About 800-900 years ago. Obama said even though religion is a source of good around the world, there will always be people willing to hijack religion for their own murderous ends. And it makes me wonder, ladies and gentlemen, the president just had a big meet with some Muslim representatives. Apparently it was a top secret meeting because the White House wouldn't tell us who he met with, just that he was meeting with, Muslims. So let's hear a little bit of what he has to say. In his own words.
So how do we, as people of faith, reconcile these realities? The profound good, the strength, the tenacity, the compassion and love that can flow from all of our faiths, operating alongside those who seek to hijack religious for their own murderous ends. Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. Michelle and I returned from India, an incredible, beautiful country, full of this magnificent diversity, but a place where in past years religious faiths of all types have on occasion been targeted by other peoples of faith simply due to their heritage and their beliefs. Acts of intolerance.
Is he drunk?
Shocked.
Sounds like he's drunk.
Gandhiji, the person who helped to liberate that nation. It is not unique to one group or one religion. There is a tendency in us, a sinful tendency, that can pervert and distort our faith. In today's world, when hate groups have their own Twitter accounts and bigotry can fester and hidden places in cyberspace, it can be even harder to counteract such intolerance. But God compels us to try.
What do you know about God?
I believe there are a few principles that can guide us, particularly those of us who profess to believe. And first, we should start with some basic humility. I believe that the starting point of faith is some doubt. Not being so full of yourself and so confident that you are right and that God speaks only to us and doesn't speak to others. That God only cares about us and doesn't care about others. That somehow we alone.
The hell is he talking about?
Our job is not to ask that God respond to our notion of truth. Our job is to be true to him, his word, and his commandments. And we should assume humbly that...
I think he's drunk or stoned.
We're confused and don't always know what we're doing. And we're staggering and stumbling towards him.
What the hell is he talking about? Yeah, don't get on your high horse, you Christians. You were violent too. 1,000 years ago. The hell is he talking about? I'm really starting to believe this guy is really evil. He really is. I hate to say it. What the hell is he talking about? The Crusades. Actually, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Actually, the Crusades... Christians didn't just go attack Muslims in the Crusades. Christians fought the Crusades because they were attacked by Muslims. Jerusalem, their holy cities were attacked by Saladin and the Muslims. Which, by the way, there's absolutely no difference between them 1,000 years ago and them today in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. There's no difference between these barbarians and those barbarians. What is he talking about? Getting on our high horse. We're not on our high horse. We're trying to stop monsters from burning people alive and chopping their heads off on YouTube. Is he insinuating that God loves? Well, in some ways, you know, he may be right there, but not for the reasons he's talking about. He don't even understand it. Sure, God loves everybody, even evil people. That doesn't mean he doesn't know they need to be wiped off the face of the earth from time to time. What is he talking about? Is this the most bizarre thing you've ever heard for a president of the United States to get on, go to a national Christian prayer breakfast and tell Christians to get off their high horse? I've never heard anything like this. What a brain-dead moron. And I'm sugarcoating it because I don't want to be rude. The Crusades weren't Christians just going out and slaughtering men, women, and children. The Crusades were a response to an attack by Muslim extremists. That there's no difference between then and now, 1,000 years. See, that's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, there may have been some atrocities committed in the name of Christianity 1,000 years ago. We reformed. We haven't done it for 1,000 years. Why is he bringing it up now? Is he trying to justify burning Jordanian pilots alive in cages and chopping people's heads off on YouTube? Is that what he's doing? Because that's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it sounds like to me. See what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? And it's not really all that subtle. He's a terrorist sympathizer. It's the only thing that makes any sense. It's the only explanation. Doesn't make any sense. I want you to, I want to hear a little bit of that again. I'm not sure what the hell he's talking about. I want to hear a little bit of that again. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I got some computer problems going on. I hope you're still hearing me. I want to play this again, because I can't figure out what he's trying to say.
Practice compassion. The freedom and dignity of all.
I'll back this up.
I want to offer a special welcome to religion. There is a tendency. A good friend. In us. A sinful tendency.
What?
That can pervert and distort. In today's world, when hate groups have their own Twitter accounts and bigotry can fester in hidden places in cyberspace. It can be harder to counteract such intolerance. But God compels us to try. And in this mission, I believe there are a few principles that can guide us.
I want to go back to the beginning here.
We profess to believe. And first,
first, we should start with we, as people of faith, reconcile these realities. The profound good, the strength, the tenacity, the compassion and love that can flow from all of our faiths, operating alongside those who seek to hijack religious for their own murderous ends. Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery
and justice, okay,
all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
During the Crusades and the Inquisition, terrible things were done in the name of Christ. How do you even know that? We don't know that. We don't know that the Crusades weren't just a response to being attacked. We don't know that the Crusades weren't a response to a 9/11 type attack, which is what I believe they were. Trying to, and I hope you're still hearing me. I had something update and it closed my browser. Gonna have to switch computers that I do the show on, I think. I don't know. I'm not sure. Exactly what's going on. Skype never closed, but my browser did. So we'll have to see. I don't know. I'll find out. I'll find out after a bit whether we even are still on the air. Still trying to get my studio to open back up. I'll carry on, just in case I am still on. The president, is he justifying burning a Jordanian pile alive because of the Crusades and the Inquisitions? Is that what he's doing? Because if he is, he's a terrorist sympathizer then. I mean, I don't understand. Why would he go to the Christian prayer breakfast and tell everybody there, well, you know, we're just as bad as they are. You know, we committed atrocities 1,000 years ago.
His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, who is a powerful example.
Let me back this up.
I want to offer a special welcome to a good friend, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, who is a powerful example of what it means to practice compassion and who inspires us to speak up for the freedom and dignity of all human beings. We see faith driving us to do right, but we also see faith being twisted and distorted, used as a wedge, or worse, sometimes used as a weapon. From a school in Pakistan to the streets of Paris, we have seen violence and terror perpetrated by those who profess to stand up for faith, their faith, profess to stand up for Islam, but in fact are betraying it. We see ISIL, a brutal, vicious death cult that, in the name of religion, carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism, terrorizing religious minorities like the Yazidis, subjecting women to rape as a weapon of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority for such actions.
So he's saying, you know, Don't get on your high horse, Christians. You committed atrocities. We've seen all kinds of people commit atrocities. So don't get on your high horse. I guess that's what he's saying. It's hard to believe. Hard for me to believe, but that seems to be what he's saying. Trying to get my studio back up. I don't even know if we're going out or not. Just amazing. The stupidity of these people. And it's amazing that more Americans don't wake up and scratch their head and say, what the hell is he talking about? Doesn't make any sense. I'll take a little pause where I try and get this computer problem straightened out. My name is Anthony Schindler, and this is The Patriot Addiction. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Patriot Media Network. My name is Anthony Schindler, and this is the Patriot Addiction. Got my studio back up, although my mic stuff isn't there. Everything else is up. Looks like we're still live, I think. Gonna have to get this computer worked on. I got a virus. I got something. Even with good money, I pay for virus protection. I have Kaspersky, which I thought was a good product. Yeah, not so much. It looks like we're still live, so we're going to carry on. Talked about the president attacking Christians at the prayer breakfast. I don't know what goes through this guy's head. Who in his administration wrote this speech and thought this was a good time to talk about it at a Christian prayer breakfast? Because really, as far as I'm concerned, all he did there is justify terrorist behavior. Because after all, you know, us Christians, we were terrorists too once. You know, that's what I took from it. Maybe I'm wrong. Feel free to call in and tell me I'm wrong. 347-855-8616. If you think I'm wrong, I don't know how else to take it. Despicable. Disgusting. This president is. Really. It's disgusting. I just don't get it. I really don't. Let's see here, moving on. Breaking news this week, Brian Williams apparently blatantly told a lie about how he got shot down in Afghanistan. Now there's questions about other reporting that he did. Maybe Katrina, maybe some other things. There's an internal investigation. It's bizarre, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it? Now, 20 years ago, he would have had to have stepped down immediately. I mean, immediately. Would have had to have resigned in disgrace. So far, NBC standing by their man. We'll see how long that lasts. Here's a related story. Charles Krauthammer criticizes Obama. Shout out to Breitbart News. Charles Krauthammer criticizes Obama on Friday's broadcast of Hugh Hewitt's radio program. Washington Post columnist Charles Krauthammer reacted to remarks made by President Obama on Thursday's National Prayer Breakfast.
Let's see what kind of exchange they had here.
That they should forgive and forget Iranian terrorism since 1979, and that those remarks are just part of a rollout of a plan to put into context normalization with a barbaric regime. Can you otherwise come up with an explanation for that flight of fancy yesterday?
The reason I would slightly dissent from that is because it gives him too much credit. I actually think he was doing it. He'll trot it out when he does the Iran deal. But the more immediate thing was simply to dismiss the barbarism that we saw with the immolation of the Jordanian pilot, and to make everybody believe that this is really nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, here is a bad. This is a combination of the banal and the repulsive. The banal is the adolescent who discovers that, well, man is fallen, and many religions have abused their faith and used it as a weapon. This is what you discover when you're 12 or 17, and what you discuss in the Columbia dorm room. He's now bringing it to the world as a kind of revelation, and he does it 2 days after the world is still in shock by the video of the burning alive of the Jordanian pilot, as a way of saying, hey, what about Joan of Arc? I mean, this is so distasteful. And, you know, there's one thing I didn't even think about until now. What the hell is he doing bringing India into this? I mean, I it's the first time I've heard India drawn into this discussion. Here he is essentially in something. It's because it's a Hindu country. It's not Muslim. I mean, he'll say in the name of Christ. He won't say in the name of Muhammad, in the name of Allah. He won't use those words. And then he goes after India, which is probably our strongest, most stable, most remarkable democratic ally on the planet, considering all the languages and religions that it harbors. It has the second largest Muslim population on earth. And yet he goes after it as a way of saying, hey, everybody here is at fault. They are not at fault. The Crusades ended 800 years ago. There's not a big inquisition going on today. Joan of Arc was not yesterday.
So Charles, what?
The pilot was 2 days ago.
This is...
All right. What is he talking about? He's defending terrorists is what he's doing. So bizarre. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Just bizarre. So we'll see. Moving on. You know, I don't understand. I guess it's easier to attack Christians. Christians won't chop your head off and, you know, put it on YouTube like the Islamo-Nazis do. Christians won't douse you in gasoline and set you on fire like the Islamo-Nazis do. Bizarre. I'm still messing with this computer. So Brian Williams, we find out he's a liar. We find out Brian's lying. The chopper whopper he told about being shot down in Afghanistan is a complete lie. And not only is that a lie, but his apology was a lie too, apparently. Apparently that was a, you know, the apology about the lie was a lie. Dateline New York Times. For years, Brian had been telling a story. There we go. Hey, the studio's back up. I don't know for how long. It looks like we're still there. So, for years, Brian Williams has been telling the story that wasn't true. On Wednesday night, he took to his anchor chair on the nightly news to apologize for misleading the public. On Thursday, his real problem started. A host of military veterans, pundits, came forward on television and social media challenging Mr. Williams' assertion that he had simply made a mistake when he spoke on several occasions about having been in a United States military helicopter forced down by enemy fire in 2003. Some have gone so far as to call for his resignation. Well, certainly. The guy that brings you your news every night, we find out, is a liar. And very well may be a pathological liar. How do you misremember being shot down in a helicopter? Now, I've never been shot down, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you this. You don't forget the details of being shot down in a helicopter. You remember it as if it was yesterday. 25 years down the road, it's like it was yesterday. Those types of things burn into your memory, and you don't forget them. You don't misremember them. In his apology, Mr. Williams said that he had been on a different helicopter behind the one that had sustained fire, and that he had inadvertently conflated the two. The explanation earned him not only widespread criticism on the radio and TV talk shows, but widespread ridicule on Twitter under the hashtag Brian Williams Misremembers. Fox News analyst Howard Kurtz said the admission raises serious questions about his credibility in a business that values the quality above all else, that quality. CNN's New Day, the host Chris Cuomo said the attributing lie to the fog of war wasn't acceptable and the internet would eat him alive. Which it's doing. A USA Today media columnist wrote, it's hard to see how Williams gets past this and how he survives as the face of NBC News. One of the reporters came out, or one of the pilots came out and said that that's even his apology was even a lie. The only thing that hit those helicopters was a sandstorm. What's amazing to me is how he got away with his lie for 12 years. Been over a decade. It happened in 2003. He first reported on the episode when it happened in 2003. though the current controversy erupted only last week. After he spoke about it on the air during a tribute to a retired soldier. Some veterans took to Facebook to complain, and a reporter at the military newspaper Stars and Stripes picked up the thread. In fact, some of the soldiers present in Iraq that day had been quietly fuming about Mr. Williams' reporting for years and even tried to alert the news media to it earlier. Joe Summerlin, who was on the helicopter that was forced down, said in an interview that he and some of his fellow crew watched Mr. Williams' initial story and were angered by his characterization of events. The account that Mr. Williams told over the years seems to have evolved, with his personal involvement gradually growing more perilous. In 2003, he called it, described it as a close call over the skies of Iraq. Mr. Williams said the Chinook ahead of us was almost blown out of the sky. In 2013, Brian Williams told David Letterman he had actually been on the helicopter that got shot down, adding that a crew member had been injured and received a medal. We figured out how to land safely, he said, and he landed very quickly and hard. We were struck, four birds in a desert, and we were north out ahead of the other Americans. On the nightly news last week, he described a terrible moment a dozen years back during the invasion of Iraq when his helicopter we were traveling and was forced down after being hit by an RPG, a reference to a rocket-propelled grenade. Summerlin said that Williams' helicopter was part of a different mission and 30 minutes behind theirs. His account was supported by two other pilots of Mr. Williams' own helicopter, Christopher Simone and Alan Kelly, who said in the interview they didn't recall their convoy of helicopters coming under fire. After the initial piece on NBC, Mr. Summerlin and his crew went looking for reporters on the base in Kuwait to tell them about the inaccuracies. Instead, they wound up leaving notes on several news vans, encouraging them to get in touch. Years later, they were still frustrated by the recounting. I mean, the guy's been lying for 13 years. And nobody comes forward. Sounds like people did. Sounds to me like the news crews were protecting one of their own. I mean, it's bizarre. Is there no honor anymore in anything or anyone in this country? Is there no consequences for despicable acts anymore in this country? Apparently not. 20, 30 years ago, he'd have been fired immediately when that news broke. Now they're questioning a lot of other stuff, a lot of other stories he told about seeing dead bodies float by his hotel when he was down in Katrina, down in New Orleans. We're already seeing that some of that was a lie. Somebody said that where he was at in that hotel never even flooded. He couldn't have saw a body float by. It's bizarre. It really is. I'll take a little pause for the cause. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. My name is Anthony Schindler, and you're listening to The Patriot Addiction, a place where our love and devotion to this country is obsessive and compulsive in a good way. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, our old buddy Jeb Bush, who wants to be the next president, the next Republican president of the United States, he gave a couple speeches. One in particular, shout out to Breitbart News. Gave a speech at some kind of economic summit in Detroit. Because that's a great place to, you know, have an economic summit. You know, great liberal stronghold that's an economic wasteland. You know, I said before, you want to see if liberalism is so great, why is every city, state, municipality, economic wastelands? Liberals were in charge of Detroit forever. And liberal policies have made it an economic wasteland. Wednesday at the Detroit Economic Club, former Governor Jeb Bush, Republican of Florida, said to create high, sustained economic growth, we need to dramatically expand immigrants that are coming to work. Bush said it seems, what? To create high, sustained economic growth, we need to dramatically expand immigrants that are coming to work. What the hell is he talking about? Bush said it seems to me we ought to be strategic about this and about how do we create high sustained economic growth. That's a shift away from family reunification being almost the sole driver of illegal immigration to narrowing that do what every other country has, spouse and minor children, and dramatically expanding immigrants that are coming to work. Guest worker program to deal in the areas where there are shortages. Millions and millions and millions of Americans out of work, and we need to dramatically increase immigration to expand economic growth. I mean, this guy, please. I'm telling you, we're doomed, ladies and gentlemen. We're done. We're toast. If we elect this moron, who, by the way, made a passionate defense for Common Core while he was, I don't know if it was this speech or another one. I saw that headline earlier today. Bunch of psychobabble nonsense. There's not a dime's worth of difference between Jeb Bush and Barack Obama. In fact, they're on the same page on a lot of stuff. He is not the answer. Jeb Bush will not save this country. And this country, make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, needs saved. But not by this brain-dead moron. To create high sustained economic growth, we need to dramatically expand immigrants that are coming to work. What the hell are you talking about, you idiot? We have millions and millions and millions of Americans out of work. I don't give a damn what they say the job numbers are. I don't give a damn what they say unemployment is. It's 11, 12, 15, 20%. They're just playing with the numbers. Millions of Americans out of work, and this brain-dead moron wants to dramatically increase immigrants coming here to work. And everybody wonders why there's a wage, you know, problem. I mean, these people are idiots. I'm begging you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a registered voter, don't vote for this moron in the primaries or the general. These idiots are destroying our country, and Jeb Bush will be one of them if we elect him. It's ridiculous. Investors and dreamers, people that come to our great universities, all these people should be welcomed into the country, Bush added. The underwritten contract ought to be embrace our values, and you can pursue your dreams in this great country, and by doing so, your greatest opportunity for more people. Family formation rates in this country are at all-time low, Bush continued. Birth rates are below break-even. There are more single women than married women in this country for the first time in our history. Our demography could be a huge strength for high sustained economic growth, or if we do nothing, it will end up becoming a significant problem. Psychobabble nonsense. You brain-dead moron. I mean, I don't get it. These people are insane. They really are. And if we don't wake up, we're in big trouble. We really are. We're in big, big trouble if this idiot, you know, or some other idiot makes it to the White House. We've had, look at the damage this president has done to our country. It's going to take decades to undo the damage that this president and the Democrat Party has done to our country. We're going to elect Jeb Bush to fix it? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's going to wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of time. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Thank those who stopped in the chat room, those who listened in the archives. I know you're there. And I appreciate the time we spend together. It's Angel Fright Friday, ladies and gentlemen, where we dedicate Rodney Foster's Angel Flight to all those Americans who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Let's send this one out. To all the men and women of the United States Armed Forces who have made the ultimate sacrifice.
Flight Bravo 02, you're number one for takeoff. Runway 25, get them home, boys.
All I ever wanted to do was fly, leave this world and live in the sky. pilot the C-130 out of Fort Worth town. I go up some days I don't want to come down. Well, I fly that plane, call the angel flight. Come on, brother, you're with me tonight. Between heaven and earth, you're never alone. On the angel flight, come on, brother, I'm taking you home. I love my family and I love this land. But tonight this flight's for another thing. We do what we do cause we heard the call. Some gave a little but he gave it all. I fly that plane, call the angel flight.
Welcome home, boys. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, good night and God bless.